Well, this is one of my favorite adventures in Artslandia, and that is once a month we come to Hotel Deluxe and we invite someone wonderful to enjoy tea here. And this week, Shelley McClendon has been invited, and then she invited her friend, Lauren Hoskins.
Hi.
And so we're all here having tea, and oh, David is just walking up.
David?
You want to say hi to everybody?
Hi, everybody.
David is an amazing waiter. If you do come to Hotel Deluxe and have tea, you are going to want to ask for David, because he is now putting these
Here is great.
Super cool tea doodle dads on the teacups, and then he pours it. Oh, and it smells very good.
This is our Lord Bergamot blend. It's kind of like an Earl Grey. We got our bergamot from it, from Reggio Calabria, Italy. It's the southern tip right before the island of Sicily. Best bergamot in the world comes from it. It's very fragrant. Sure.
I've never had any bergamot better than the bergamot from that place.
Can I bring you some teas as well? Do we have any decisions?
I'm going to do this one.
The Green Deluxe?
Yes.
All right. And for you, sir?
Let's try this. The Provenance.
Provenance Black. All right. I'll be steeping them in the back, so it'll be a few minutes. But when I bring them out, they'll be all ready to drink. I'll have your food shortly after.
Thank you.
Awesome.
So there's lots of stuff to talk about with both of you, because
yes,
you're both very engaged in the world, working in theater and all sorts of things. And I know...
First, can we talk about how gorgeous David is?
Yeah, David's gorgeous.
Oh, very, very gorgeous.
And he's adorable.
Well, he's got the poise that you want. If you're going to a place like this to have tea with crazy little
doodle dads. I don't
doodle dads.
Tea,
look at the lace work.
Tea strainers.
That's exactly who he needs to walk to.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
He looks like a ballerina.
Right,
he's
and
beautiful.
Then and there are these little tiny sugar tongs. It's kind of like when you played Operation. Did you guys ever play Operation?
Yeah.
These are good noises, though, right?
Yeah, yes. Very. I like. I'm putting the sugar in the tea.
Have you had the tea yet?
It's absolutely lovely.
Italy.
So.
Two more.
Wait, I want to play mine. Because I've got tea in mine. Oh, crap. I lost it.
It's good.
It's pretty good.
Well, thank you for having us.
You are so welcome. As I said, just really looking forward to getting to talk to you. Well, I guess we could start off by talking about Siren Productions.
Yeah.
Because I did a podcast with Jason Rouse.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was doing a show there, if I'm not mistaken. I could be mistaken.
Yes, he did. He has done a couple of shows on Siren.
And that was really the first time I had heard about Siren, and I thought, wow, well, that's... And I looked you guys up because of Jason, and I thought, well, there's a lot of really cool things happening there, so...
Yes. So the Siren Theater, we opened a year ago. We just had our first birthday party, and we're in Chinatown. And home of Bad Reputation Productions, but we also open it up to other people to rent... like Jason, to do their own productions there.
The thing is that Shelley and her Bad Reputation Productions, the mounting, they just cranked the music. Hear that?
I did.
Swelling.
Mm-hmm. That was perfect. That was like,
good intro.
Shelley McClendon.
At last.
So she was throwing some of the best comedies in town, but she was always struggling for space to do it, you know, just like slipping in after other productions on odd times, odd hours, and so Siren was her chance to set up shop and do it her way whenever she wanted. So,
and Lauren made that possible. Lauren and his wife Janelle. Can I talk about it?
I'm sure if you want.
Okay,
to,
yeah. I mean, they just, you know, things like this take money.
Right.
They take finances. Lauren and Janelle, his lovely wife Janelle Moratsky, approached me and said, we want to help you financially do this.
What a so great thing.
It was wonderful.
It was a way to, I mean, because I grew up in the sketch comedy and Portland Performance. I was a founding member of the Third Floor, like the, just closed 20 years.
Captain Bob and Salty.
Yeah.
And because I did a show with Andy Lindbergh, golly, a long time ago. But that is a wonderful, a really amazing group, too.
Oh, thanks.
Lauren is Captain Bob. for everybody to listen.
Pirate.
Arg!
This was a chance to try and set up a playhouse for everybody. Mm-hmm. I felt like this was great for everybody, me included. Mm-hmm. I've been stuck on production on this show mm-hmm. at Disney for 4 seasons.
Wow.
And it just finished almost better part of
what
7
show
years.
Is that?
Jake and the Neverland Pirates. It was an animated show.
Oh,
on
nice.
The Disney Channel.
Uh huh.
And I was a co-composer, songwriter, and performer on the show. Mm-hmm. Crazy Deadline. Mm. But, you know, I wanted to come back out and play everyone again
right.
in the theater. And so we needed a place. And Shelly was the one out there forging the new shows and putting up and bringing an audience. And she had the talent and the drive.
Shelly, I can't believe you dropped that.
I'm sorry. I'm just overwhelmed.
I'm so glad you can't see who really dropped that.
Look at how disproportionate the sugar lumps are.
I know. They're giant.
One lump or two. Which one? This one? No.
It just reminds me of old movies or old cartoons. One lump or two. Clonk, clonk.
Anyway, so Shelly, we approached Shelly because we wanted to help. She's a friend, too. But mm-hmm. We wanted to help get, I don't know, clubhouse
goal. Yeah.
That's such a great word for it because, I mean, you get to hang out with friends. You
right.
are obviously incredible creative writers and makers, and you get to be with people in a space that's just for you to work in.
Right.
That's super rare.
Very fun. It's been a very quick year. We've done a lot in 1 year.
Mm-hmm. Can you rattle it off?
We started with Lost Boys, which we are doing again. We are mm-hmm. bringing that back.
Oh, that's good to bring up. It's opening next weekend.
Opening next weekend. Staged adaptation of the movie The Lost Boys, which is perfect for Halloween. We've done Roadhouse, staged adaptation of the movie Roadhouse, sketch comedy with the Aces, 2 sketch comedy shows from the Aces, Lone Wolves, which is another sketch comedy show, Improv with the Liberators. We've
right.
had a bunch of guests come in.
You can look on the website.
You can
the
look
whole
on the website.
Litany.
Yeah, but it's been a lot.
But I mean, it's sketch. It's improv.
Yeah.
It's stand up. Mm-hmm. It's vibrant after
yes.
1 year already.
That's fantastic.
It's
so, of all the projects that you're doing for you guys personally, what are the things? I know you're working on a project together that must light your fire because you're working on it.
Yes.
What is? Can you talk about that?
Yes,
or,
we are doing. Lauren and I and other writers are putting up a kind of a sketch variety Christmas show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great.
That is
for this season.
For this season.
Great.
And there's going to be music and a lot of sketch comedy. It's going to be. It's kind of, you can probably bring your kids to it, but it's not going to be like a kids show. We did,
right.
a couple of years ago, Bad Reputation put up the stage adaptation of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer,
mm-hmm.
the Rankin-Bass.
Oh, golly, yeah, the claymation-ish
yeah.
thing.
Right.
I know it's not claymation.
And it was super fun, and we wanted to do something that people could bring their families to that was, but that's still funny to adults.
Mm-hmm.
That's not like...
Well, because I've always thought a holiday show is... so great to make a piece where people can bring their family who are in from out of town, not have to talk to them, and
right.
go see something.
Right.
Right.
It's a great time for theater in Portland.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
And we want to celebrate the holidays. Like, I love the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to be just a show about the holidays, celebrating it, but not like in a, we're not doing this, you know, It's a Wonderful Life. But
right.
mm-hmm.
we're just celebrating the season.
With sketches with that
comedy.
Are reflective
yeah.
about, well, which is so easy because there's so many funny things about the holidays.
Right.
I mean, it's such a weird time.
It is.
It's a great
weird.
Time. It's a beautiful time. It's a painful time.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfect fodder.
So that will run in December.
Can you talk about any of the sketches you guys have thought about so far or just
well,
riff off anything?
I could just give you some of my brainstorms.
That'd be cool. I mean, it'd be fun just to get a little
Lauren's
preview.
Brainstorms are great.
Well, so Christmas carols, like the old Victorian Christmas carols,
mm-hmm.
I love them because they're just guilt trips. They're just terrible. Like, you listen to the lyrics, it's
right.
all about, we're outside and we're freezing. Why don't you invite us in for cider and snacks? So,
sounds
you know,
like a current political situation.
You by the fire on me in the street. You know, it's just like... just this prolonged guilt trip. That's
right.
what they used to be. And so I want to do something with that, mm-hmm. with the like Victorian carolers, and have it get worse and worse, you know, and just the terrible guilt trips. And maybe a character who has their own caroling guilt trips behind them, you know, following them around to all through the course of their holiday seasons, or shopping, whatever. That's an idea.
I grew up in performing in Christmas productions at the church I grew up in. I was in a giant church in Southern California, and that is just a gold mine.
Oh my gosh, yes.
You know, I in the fourth grade, played the Star of Brightness.
You were the Star of Brightness?
I was the Star of Brightness, which convinced the star that alerted everyone where baby Jesus was.
That's the Star of Brightness?
No, this was the mentor to that star.
Was there a Star of Darkness?
That was a play about Satan.
The Star of Darkness? No. Oh, that's okay. Oh, I was like, wow, really?
No, there was not.
So gullible.
So I was convincing the other star that he was bright enough to let the wise men know where Jesus was. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
That's hilarious.
Top drawer.
I love it. What did that star get on his SATs?
So wait a minute. Is the second star... So you're the star that convinced the star.
Right.
Is that one of those, like, redundant roles so that lots of kids can be stars? Or...
so that everyone's...
Why not just have the star?
Well, because there needs to be some sort of change.
There's got to be an obstacle.
Throughout the, you know, throughout the musical.
Okay.
You know, we have to see the star. The star can't just go, yeah, I'm doing it.
It's got to transform.
And I feel good about myself, and then I do it.
Okay.
Nobody feels good about themselves in theater.
So it's kind of like Rocky 2.
Right,
with
but
stars.
For stars.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh,
Rocky 2 with stars, I like that.
David is pouring tea into my, through a latticework strainer, into a very delicate cup. Are we not supposed to let the, like if you poured more in there, would that be bad? Okay. Well, I just noticed.
That was just a roundabout of it. More, sir. I'd like some more.
I'll be around for more friends later. You can take this out to drink it. It's
awesome.
Blowing away, too.
Thank you.
Yeah, can I bring anything else right now?
I think I'm good.
I'm happy.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
I think I'm intimidating David. I think I'm too into it.
Really? I think he's... Yeah, well, I'm messy. So now you guys can do a sketch on Christmas tea.
Exactly. So yeah, those are some of the ideas. I don't want to give too much away just because we have a lot of ideas.
It's fun to hear you, and I'm sure for people who are going to listen, to hear you riff off what you do.
Right.
You know, I always enjoy listening to conversations that end up becoming, you know, theater pieces.
Mm-hmm. Fun. It's funny because Shelley is kind of a master at improv,
mm-hmm.
improvisation. Her, she's got a whole crew of improv people, and I've done a little bit of improv.
Mm-hmm.
Almost defensively when I've been in shows when other people started to improvise.
Slide.
I write it down. I'm a sketch guy, so I always bring scripts to the table,
mm-hmm.
and. Where and it can be intimidating too to be with all these people that can just riff,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, wait, let me write it down. I'll see you tomorrow, you know. And then, you know, and I write it up. But it's actually a really cool. I think there used to be. I don't know. I think there used to be a real hard line between improv and sketch, and it's more and more and more.
Right.
And I think there's it's a really cool fusion.
Mm.
And so that you get the people that can riff, and then you get the people that take it home and punch it up.
Right.
And put it together, then rehearse it, and you get your best stuff. And then even when you've got the script locked, then you're on the stage, and something comes up, and you can play around with it,
mm-hmm.
improvise a little bit, and then you can go back to the script.
Mm-hmm.
That's a cool team.
Right.
Of people.
And Lauren is, if I could.
If you'd like to, go ahead.
Oh my God, what are you going to do?
He's just a really good, like when he writes a sketch, it's very tight, it's really... Like the jokes are, you know, right where the jokes are, and I think that makes us a good combo, because a lot of times my scripts are like, oh, this happens, and then say something funny here, and then a tumbleweed goes by, and then something will happen. But then, Lauren is really good at, like, here's the joke, this is what's happening, you need, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's, I think it's a good combination of styles.
We've got the Christmas show that we're working on will be with several people, mm-hmm. lots of people with tons of different talents and tools.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really excited to see how that will take shape.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
You have music as well? Or
we're going to have music.
Original music? Or do you
probably
riff off some, as you said, when you were talking about the carols?
The Christmas carols. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll write an original Victorian Christmas carol.
That's great.
Based on other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
And it sounds like a really fun evening.
I think it's going to be fun.
I think so.
I'm not sure what we're calling it yet.
Hmm.
Christmas time.
The brightest star.
Star of brightness.
Star of brightness. Star of brightness. I don't know.
I think that's a contender anyway.
It's gotta be.
And I didn't want to do it. My mom, who I love, wanted me to do it. And so she signed me up to be, I had to sing a solo. Oh. We went to a huge church. It had like...
Did you go to the Crystal Cathedral?
No.
Okay.
But, I mean, I have visited it.
Yes.
But I did not go there. But our church that we went to was huge.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to... As a fourth grader? Come on,
that's
man.
Huge.
Yeah, I didn't...
You're really out there.
Yes. And I did it. I'm glad I did it because I got a good story out of it. But at the time, I did not enjoy it.
Right. Petrifying.
It was petrifying. I do.
What was the title?
I don't remember.
Star of brightness.
I'm intimidated to sing it here at this teaching.
Well, you don't have to sing it. I just want to know some of the
lyrics. Some of the lyrics were, you can be brighter, a little lighter. You can be brighter, something else than me.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
Oh, right.
So why?
This is the tutelage.
So you're going to be a winner. You're right now a beginner or something like that.
Good, good. That rhymes.
Oh, that's great.
It was great.
The whole pageant thing, the whole Christmas pageant thing,
right.
is really, it's really interesting.
Yes, our church also did, a lot of the stuff that I write for this show is going to come from my church growing up.
Right.
And we had the bell choir always had to make, you know, make an appearance, especially mm-hmm. at Christmas time.
Right.
And it was a group of eight. I mean, it takes a special person to want to be in a bell choir.
Yeah.
Right? The handbells.
Special
especially the
person.
Dude. It's always a dude who just sat there with the giant bell.
Right.
He just like, got to ring it like
with his white gloves.
With his white gloves.
Oh,
yeah,
the glove.
He just stood there. And then they did the thing with the wrists to make it
ring. Right. That is great. I love that.
So I want to do something around a bell choir.
My best friend's brother was in a bell choir. I remember that. And then they have a bell choir at the Unitarian Church downtown Portland. And I remember going there.
Yeah.
Like if we do it, like actually
get bells.
Yeah, get bells. And
oh,
dang.
We'd have to practice.
Dang, they could be those, you could use like cowbells. You know, just a different, because it'd be like a more inclusive bell choir. Not just those fancy bells.
Right.
What bells do you have at home?
A diversity of bells.
Yeah.
All bells are welcome.
Yeah. How long do you spend? I mean, obviously, you're professionals. You put time together. You make a schedule. You're writing a show. How long do you work together a week, or how do you work out your schedule?
This is actually will be the first time that Lauren and I have ever really worked together in writing something,
right? Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So once Lost Boys opens up, which opens on October 14th
at the Siren Theater,
probably start getting together more often, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Are we still hanging out tonight?
Yeah.
We're going to watch. This is for something different.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you shouldn't see it.
Oh no, okay. I don't feel bad. It's fine. I'm not invited. Whatever.
No. So we're starting. We're writing for next
for
year.
For next year.
For next Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
An original music.
Oh, that's awesome.
Right. So we're going to start.
Is it going to be scary?
Yes.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Yes.
Parts of it.
Yeah.
Well, I think so.
I'm blown away at how many really awesome Halloween things there are in Portland. I didn't realize I have kids, and now my youngest daughter is a senior in high school, so I'm not, you know, doing things with kids anymore. So now Halloween, I can go out in the world. There's some really fun, cool.
Yeah.
Halloween things.
Yeah. I think more and more there's grown-ups that want to play Halloween. Something a little, maybe a little more, I don't know, a little more elegant affair, a little less
sexy
crazy.
Cop, sexy
bunny.
Yeah.
Playboy bunny.
Right.
And I think, I've always wanted to try that in Portland theatrically, haunted show, something like an elegant, like you get $2 off if you come dressed in mourning, or something like that. So just give grown ups a chance to go play Halloween.
That sounds like fun.
So,
there was this space. Have you guys been in the Imago space? Mm-hmm. Upstairs, there's this old ballroom, and I remember. Jerry, I was walking through the space one day and I thought, oh my gosh, this would be the coolest. It reminded me of the Twilight Zone ride at Disneyland, where it's all cobwebby and you're in this old place, and if you could imagine like this old, 1940s concert and everybody dressed in that time period and you're entering and being in the wrong year. I don't know, there's something about it. I just love that space. I thought it would be so much fun to do like a
that's Imago's old space?
Yeah, the space on 6th and Burnside.
Okay.
And kind of like Tamara in LA they had for years ago, that where you walked into a integrated
Sleep No More. Yeah.
And you walk into a space and you're in a place and time. It's spooky and fun.
That would be amazing.
Sleep No More is...
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I took my daughter, and she's not going to like that I'm bringing this up, but she was furious with me because it was so scary.
Mm.
And it was not just scary, like, whoa, it was mind-bending.
Yeah, it's elegant and psychological and strange.
Yes, and you really... you choose where you go, you follow the characters you want to follow, there's rooms to go into.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was.
Have you heard of Sleep No More?
I don't think I've
Let's
heard.
Go.
Is it in New York?
Yeah, it's in New York.
It's
Let's go.
Out of this world.
So what it's a Scottish Shakespeare company that came to New York, and I'm going to mess up some of the facts. So look
right, I can't even remember the facts. I couldn't even remember the title.
It's a Scottish Shakespearean dance company, a ballet company.
Mm-hmm.
So they bought this building in New York, and it's got five floors.
Mm-hmm.
And they converted the whole thing to look like an old hotel from the 30s.
Right.
It's run down and disrepair. You show up, and they give you a mask.
Right.
And you're told that if you take your mask off, you have to leave.
And you're not even allowed to go in with the person you came with, and that's where my daughter was
cool.
I don't think so. And that was where we were like, no, we have to stay together. And that's when she started to squeeze my arm so hard that marks were left.
People don't try to touch you, do they?
No. So they ignore you. You wander through the house, and it's playing out a loose version of Macbeth throughout the
right,
building.
That's right. I forgot that.
Depending on where you end up at a certain time, you might be in a room when Lady Macbeth comes in and starts cleaning blood off her.
But it's all very loosely adapted, and it was all set in 1940, I think. So there was one room I'll never forget. All these bathtubs. I mean, this two rows of bathtubs with a couple of actors laying in them in various... And then all these crazy, surgical instruments, and it was scary. Well, one room was totally like a forest with all these beautiful birch trees, and you would weave through all these trees. It was beautiful, very specific and beautifully done.
Yeah, I'd love to see it, but I'd love something like that to be.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that's. I love the idea of that kind of collaboration too, where you get a designer, you come up with ideas, you come up with what you want to show, and then you have that ability to create those spaces. It's really exciting.
Well, and I like the idea of things being spooky but not terrifying.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like being terrified.
No. I don't like jump scares.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like more psychological or kind of. I like the chills.
Right.
Right. Thought-provoking, too.
Yes.
Lauren also has a character that he plays called E.R. Perkins, who is, how would you describe him?
He is the nervous necromancer. it's like a mentalist or a haunted magician,
mm-hmm.
but he's afraid of all the stuff that he has, so he'll bring ha- haunted books and haunted objects.
Oh, I love
to
it.
To interact with an audience.
Uh-huh.
It's so good. Oh, my gosh.
This, look at those.
No, we have to describe it. Well, you're going to describe it to us.
I'll show you.
Will you come by the microphone a little bit closer, just so everybody can hear you well? And maybe put your hand on Shelly's shoulder. Yeah, there we go. Okay, that's good. Yeah.
So, on the bottom tier, we have a tower of sandwiches. On the top right of this tower, we have a smoked salmon and caper cream cheese on rye bread. Beside that is a chicken salad on wheat bread. On the bottom left, we have the classic cucumber and mayonnaise on white bread. And beside that, we have prosciutto and apricot cream cheese on white bread. To the side of all of these towers, we have a round sandwich with some green on the outside. It's called a James Beard. It's sweet Vidalia onions and parsley. And it's on white bread.
Yum.
On the next level here, we have our house-made scones. There's plain and blackcurrant. They are going to be more like an English-style scone than an American-style. That means they're going to be less sweet and just more room for toppings. For those, we have clotted cream shipped in from England and house-made blackberry jam.
Ooh, clotted cream.
On the top level, from Little Red's Bake Shop, we have a toffee date cake, a berry tart, a lemon tart, and in the center from La Provence is a raspberry macaroon rolled and freeze-dried raspberries.
I just,
what is the low-carb option?
That's outside.
Let's go. Enjoy. I'll be around with hot water and anything else you might need.
Thanks, David.
Wow.
That's ridiculous.
Isn't that crazy?
It is a three-tier. It starts savory at the bottom. Mm-hmm. Then it goes kind of in between with the scone. Sandwiches on the bottom. What did he say? Tower of sandwiches.
Tower of terror of sandwiches.
And then the scones, and then all the way up to the desserties on top.
The third floor.
Yum. That's right.
Which one is the salmon? That's the one I don't
know. I think it's the one with the orange.
May I serve you, Shelly?
Sure.
What would you like? The James Beard, I don't know why that, it's delicious, but every time I hear the name of it, it makes me laugh.
I'll have whatever. I'm not afraid.
Whatever. You want to try at one of everything?
Sure. Thank you.
They're just so pretty.
I'll start with this one.
Yes, no more than that.
No more than that.
All right. Lauren, may I serve you, or would you like to do your own thing?
Well, I think I'll just have a scone and some clotted cream.
All right. Have some clotting. Mm. I just think they are so pretty.
Mm.
Let's see. Here's the clot. And here's the jam, which is serious heaven on earth.
Okay.
This is great. So do they do this every...
Yes.
Just once a month?
No, they do it every day, and it's, we'll ask David when he comes back, but it is, I think, Thursday through Sunday, and isn't it lovely?
Mm-hmm.
The food's wonderful, and the service is great, and...
I've always liked this restaurant, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know there are others, but this just does have that old Hollywood vibe,
mm-hmm.
kind of Regency thing.
And the Driftwood Room is such a fun bar.
Yeah.
So great.
Great.
Mm-hmm. I've only had good times here at the Hotel Deluxe.
Well done.
Wow.
No, but it's true.
No, but it was well done. Well executed.
But anyway, Yorkburg, getting back to Yorkburg, I just think it's so awesome that Lauren is into this, and he's studied, like, what is, I don't even know what it is. How do you explain it?
I don't know.
Magic things?
Yeah, just magic and mentalism, but instead of following that, it's maybe 20% actual illusions,
mm-hmm.
and the rest of it is just character and storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like Las Vegas magicians,
no.
You know, where it's like your eyes out when watching it. It's like he plays this character that is scary, and he's got this backstory that you're like, what's this about? And then, like, he did this. We were having a pool party at a friend's house. He was just being Warren at this time. You weren't being
that's pre-Perkins.
You were researching.
And I'm the worst explainer in the world of this.
We've got time. Look at all the sandwiches we have to eat.
But it is, yeah. I've got to get through it. He like set up shop in the pool house and did like kind of a fortune telling like thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For everybody there. And
like,
it was super great.
A circus-y carnival fortune telling
kind of thing. Where you chose like a trinket and then you held it over these cards. And you had to hold the trinket until it was still, and then you moved it over all the cards, and then when it stopped, you started moving.
It's the
by itself.
It's the mystic pendulum.
Right.
The pendulum. Yes.
And then that's what your card was, and it was.
When I was a kid,
was accurate, so.
I remember going to the Magic Castle with my dad in L.A., and they had a close-up room. They had a room called the close-up room, and you'd sit there, and these people would do these tricks that, I mean, it was spooky, because you thought, wait a minute, I have no idea how they did it, and it's fun. It's fun to, you know, it sounds like that's maybe the type of magic that this guy...
No, not at all.
No, not at
no,
all.
No, I marvel at that stuff. I'm not a magician. Mm. I'm not like a manipulator or a mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
I can barely shuffle my cards. What I'm doing is more character-based with quote, haunted objects. You know? And there's some allusion to it. But yeah, it's not like those people are wizards, you know. Like,
they're real wizards.
Yeah.
I mean, real daytime wizards. So he'll be a part of the haunting.
I would like him. Well, I don't know if he.
Well, I want to do an after hour show. Yeah, Perkins Sound Club.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Old Town is a great place to hold a séance party.
Oh, well, what about the underground tour? You know, I've never gone on that, but wouldn't that be fun to haunt that thing? Or maybe it's already haunted.
It's already pretty spooky.
Yep.
Have you done it?
Mm-hmm.
I've never done it.
There's kind of, I think there's controversy over if the Shankman tunnels even were a thing.
Oh, really?
But it's spooky even if it wasn't real.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a series of basements that you walk through.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's scary.
It is, but right about when it's starting to really get spooky, they take you into the next room, and then you hear someone singing Billie Jean in karaoke.
And that's really scary.
That's spoiler for, yeah, it was like, oh, that's scary. But it's still cool. I mean, it's neat. You can't. It is a disused space.
Right.
They didn't fake that, but. Yeah, as far as the validity of if there were opium dens down there,
right.
Or if that they were trafficking humans. I mean, Portland did have a reputation for Shanghai, but I don't know that.
It happened in the way that these
people.
It's fun to go with a group of people.
Yeah, it's spooky.
May I have the clotted cream,
oh, please?
And the jam, if you please. Yes. Oh my, that is so clotted. Wow.
I've never seen such clotted cream.
I haven't either. It's the most clotting cream I've ever seen.
Well, what did you expect?
Clotted.
These sandwiches are taking me
around. Aren't they
really?
So good?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go straight to Jane Austen land.
What about you?
Well, not me. Holy cow. All right. Well, I'm a resident artist rep, and I've been doing the podcast for probably a year. I think I should look and find out how long I've been doing it, which I love Mr. Rogers, and if that makes any sense to you about why that would lead me to doing this, but I love process, and I like writing myself, and I've, you know, written shows for myself in the past, and I love the process of making shows, and I thought, you know, I would really enjoy interviewing people about what they're doing in town.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many interesting things going on in Portland.
Right.
And it's fun. Yesterday I went to there's this new show in town. Well, it's not a show. Well, it is a show. It's a gallery, an art show. And this book's coming out called Dead Feminists. And it's a WordPress piece where it's a book, actually, with two women who wrote the book and made these beautiful, they're called broadsides, which are these old, you know, political flyers back in the day. So they make these incredibly beautiful broadsides. And they wrote a book called Dead Feminists, and there are a number, I think in the maybe 40 or so, maybe 30-something, of these feminists, some of whom I knew about, many of whom I didn't. But it took me to this tiny gallery called 23 Sandy, which is on Sandy and Northeast 23rd. It's just a beautiful little tiny spot where all these handmade books live. And there are so many interesting niches of art making in town, you know? I mean, it was mind-boggling. I mean, they run the gamut from, you know, a dollar a piece to $4,000, and she curates this collection, and she sells them all over the country. And this, I don't know, it's really fun. It's fun to get, you know, needless to say, there are all these great artists in the 50 United Faces of Artslandia. So there are a lot of people that I've never met. I've never met you. I mean,
right.
I know I've heard about your work through other actors and so on. And so it's just a really, I don't know, I really enjoy kind of, you know, you get the little piece of thread and just kind of pulling and thinking, oh, what are people doing? And what rocks their boat? And why are they doing it? And how are they doing it? And
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's good. I like it. I'm going to do a show at Artist Rep for Christmas called Civil War Christmas, and that will be interesting and fun.
Is it a comedy?
Yeah. Someone might
hilarious.
Say. It's a musical. Paula Vogel wrote it, and it's really exciting because all the original, the folk music, they got permission to have indie arrangers from Portland to rearrange all the music. So there's Edna Vasquez and Holcomb Waller and James Beaton. A bunch of really cool musicians are going to do it. And I'm going to play Mary Todd Lincoln, and I'm learning a lot about her right now, which is, yeah, she... Oh.
She was depressed.
Yeah, well, and then there was a new thing in the Times recently that she may have had anemia, and that might have contributed to all her mood swings, and she was heartbroken because she lost two children, a very young child and then a 12-year-old.
Toward spiritualism. Right?
Yes, she did. And she was not liked in Washington, and people were really mean to her. It's so interesting in light of the political situation now or the process. Seeing the ugliness, it's not new.
Right.
Not new. The ugliness,
right.
Forever.
Right.
In fact, I was at the Lincoln Museum in Springfield, Illinois. I was singing a concert there, and someone said, well, I'll take you. And, oh my gosh, it was so fantastic how they took that election when Lincoln was elected and put contemporary people into the energetic vibe of what that election was like. It was just like this one, horrible, slanderous things being lobbed back and forth. There were four candidates. Tim Russert made this incredible video. He described all of the candidates in contemporary terms, you know, about what their politics were like. And it's just so fascinating. You look, Hamilton's a great example. You look back at history and you think, oh, they were so well-mannered back then. Or, you know, they were those people from the 1800s. They were all very, very kind and gentle with each other. Mm-mm. They were just like us and just different outfits, much more,
dirtier.
Much less comfortable. You know, squeezed in. They were like
really uncomfortable.
Super dirty. So they had reason to be nasty, whereas we are so much more comfortable.
We should
be nicer. So that's probably way more information than I should have disclosed, but you know, we still have a lot of sandwiches to go.
We do.
We're
not gonna try anything.
Well, which one is the chicken salad?
That looks like a chicken salad.
Yes. And then I don't know if you like cucumbers, but the cucumber one is
really good. I would like to go back in the kitchen. Maybe next time I'm gonna ask if I can and see, you know, how they cut off all the crust.
It's pretty cute.
It's cute, isn't it? And crust really does kind of bust up the sandwich feel in the mouth. Because it's hard. And like when these are also...
Work.
Yeah.
It's work. They just cut the work out of it.
They do. It's like your mouth closes on, it's like boom, nothing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just
flavor.
Sandwich eating is hard.
It's hard work.
It's hard to eat a sandwich.
It is.
And they make it easier. You know, E.R. Perkins' science party can still happen this year. I know I keep bothering you about it.
I still have time to put it together right now.
Maybe Hotel Deluxe will let you do it in one of their rooms.
Maybe around Christmas or something. Well, that's another thing. Is that Christmas used to be a time for ghost stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I'd love to have that.
Ebenezer.
Maybe used to Halloween and do that stuff for Christmas.
That's a fun idea.
Late night stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's even the old... There'll be scary ghost stories and it used to be a big part of Christmas.
That's so interesting.
Kind of like, especially in England, there was like a ghost story at Christmas every year on BBC.
Anything to get families closer together.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, you know, Christmas Carol is the ultimate ghost story.
Right.
And the one that they, the really great one that I love watching every year with George C. Scott.
That's the Christmas
oh, yeah,
Carol.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. Yeah, let's do a Christmas ghost story.
Okay.
Show. We got a lot to do. We got a lot of writing.
We
gotta
get going.
Yeah, you guys, you've got a couple more sandwiches to eat. Luckily, it's easy to eat a sandwich.
Real quick. Oh, there's another tong.
They arm us with a lot of tongs.
Word on the tongs. Should I rotate the sandwich plate?
Sure.
Oh, yeah, because we're light on that side.
Look at all those on the tower.
Mm-hmm. The Tower of Terror of sandwiches.
Okay, so the chicken salad was really good, and I'm going to have another one of those.
Please do.
Sandwich slices.
You might enjoy the James Beard as well.
I love the James Beard.
The round one?
The one with the green.
It's cucumber?
Yes, that'd be wonderful. David, will you refresh my memory about the days and times that you have tea?
We have tea Thursday through Sunday. And the reservation hours are 3 o'clock, 3:15, and 3:30.
Got it.
And we do tea until 5 o'clock on those days, when we'll switch over to dinner.
Got it. There are quite a few people here. Do people dress up sometimes? Super fancy?
We have some great people that come in every once in a while that just go all out. I'll see if I can find a picture.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Can I interview you a little bit?
Of course.
What do you hope to do with the Siren in the, like, this year and bigger dreams years coming?
I want there to be, there are certain shows that I want to write that I want to happen in the next couple of years. Moving away from doing parodies of movies or, you know, things that already exist. Into doing more writing. Much more. I want more sketch comedy.
Yeah.
I love sketch comedy. I love doing it. I love watching it.
I do too.
When is the next Aces show? This is some of the best sketch comedy you'll see right here in Portland. So we'll see the Aces.
Thank you. I think at the end of February into March.
Perfect.
It's me and my sketch partner Mikey Fetters. And this will be our sixth show. So we've been doing this for six years now.
Do you have a company of actors that you use, or is it just the two of you?
For the Aces, it's just Mike on it.
Oh, that's great.
But there's Bad Reputation has... I keep using the same people over and over. There's not like a company.
Right, but you
but I
have...
I guess there kind of is.
Kind of.
I keep using the same people and over.
If somebody's
great, why replace them?
And you know what they've got in their
palette. They're all wonderful people.
That's good.
Yeah. So yeah, I think more sketch, more...
How do you... This is a weird question maybe, but when you're doing sketch comedy, you obviously have a deadline because you're shooting for a show that's going to open.
Right.
So you start writing sketches, and how do you put your work out there if you don't think it's ready? Like, how do you bust through that fear factor of, so I'm not quite ready, but you do... I mean, just...
You just do it.
And how do you feel? I mean, when you're listening to the show and hearing responses and so on, you obviously have to take it in because you're probably. Do you continue developing those sketches past that, or depending on how?
Sometimes we'll have a show that's just like two nights, and if a show isn't or if a sketch isn't working, you're like, we just have to do it one more time, and then
that's it.
And then that's it, or what wasn't working? Do we want to do this again? I mean, I try to get things to a point where you minimize that, but sometimes time runs out, and you just have to put it up.
Right. I mean, I know when I'm in a play and there's something that I think is hilarious, and then we're doing a performance, and it just doesn't hit. It's hard, and it's our job, of course, to stay in the game and finish it out.
Right.
But it's. It's really interesting. I don't think maybe people who don't do this realize, you know, you're just in this constant state of getting this feedback in the moment that's like, great, it's interesting.
Right. Well, it's a series of vacuums, right? You're writing a sketch on your own, you're working with your partner, you're working with the rest of the group, you're working with the director, and then finally the audience is going to tell you what's funny about it.
Right.
And then you'll make changes as you go. Even little ones, you know, like they'll tell you what the funny parts are.
Right.
The best sketch on the page is not going to look like that by the end of the run.
Right.
So it's like if you see a show that you love, go see it again closing night. Because it's going to develop and change with a live audience.
That's really fun, I think. Yeah. People don't, you know, nowadays everyone gets a ticket for something and then they're busy or whatever, but seeing a show twice, it can be so much fun.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It really can.
See how it changes, like you said, it's great.
Right.
So what do you think about...
All right, I have a picture of one of our more elaborate dress-up parties here.
Oh, that's adorable. My God. Wow.
Oh, boy.
That's amazing.
They've come in a couple times, dressed different every time I can say what their costumes are.
Oh, my gosh. This is fantastic. Thanks, David.
It's a picture of adult ladies.
So it's kind of like Shirley Temple?
It's
their
baby doll.
Yeah, it looks like Baby June from Gypsy.
Cute.
Yeah, it's
intimidating.
It is. Yeah. I feel
it's a lot to take care
of. Yeah. There's a lot of bows and a lot of curls.
I wonder if they ever do like a tea with the Mad Hatter or something like that.
That would be fun.
Yeah. What were you asking for?
I was gonna ask you, would you ever consider taking like your cadre of actors, your troupe or company, and putting up, you know, like well-known plays. I mean, other plays.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't have one in mind.
Like a straight play.
Well, no, it could be
or a comedy.
It could be, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about doing King Lear.
Yeah.
Because
and making
funny.
That a comedy. Doing the Bad Reputation thing to it.
Yeah.
Which I still want to do. It's just a big undertaking.
Oh gosh, yeah.
But yeah, I would love to put on the musical Xanadu.
Okay.
Oh.
I would love
Roller Skates and everything.
I'm upset that somebody already made that into a musical.
Mm-hmm.
Roller Skates and everything. We've got some roller skaters in the
group.
But
you could put it up, couldn't you?
Yeah. But I mean, you know, I'm upset that somebody else thought of that idea. Yeah. And I don't know how to even do that. I don't know how to, like, get rid of
Yeah, I guess something like that is not, like, registered with Samuel or French or anything.
Yeah, I don't know the process of that.
You mean of securing the rights for Xanadu?
Yeah. What are these things that you're talking about? They're just like
storehouses. Let me offer you from the top tier the dessert.
Oh, right.
The puffy. The
should I?
Should I go first?
Is everyone finished with sandwiches? No one's going to have the James Beard. I'm going to eat the James Beard.
Do it.
Something about that just sounds dirty. I'm going to eat the James Beard. I don't know. That's weird. I think of a beard, you know, like James Beard's beard.
That would be gross.
That's cool.
So Samuel French is like a copyright holder, and they have Scripps Warehouse, right? And you can write to them, and then you can write as a producer, and you can say, I want to put up this show.
And they ask you how many seats, and what are you going to do?
And then you pay the royalties, and you do it.
And then you're there.
So the royalties will change according to
the show and how long
who's doing it.
Yeah.
And how many seats?
I can check that out.
Yeah. We can find out at the end of the interview. Look on my computer.
I'm going to take a picture of
me. Yes, we are going to have a picture. We have to have a picture actually of all three of us at some point. David will take it.
My wife texted me and says, how's it going? And I said, great, we're having tea. And she said, I don't know what that means. Because I put tea in quotes because it's kind of like a high tea. And so now...
I'll put my pinky out.
Proof?
Sand.
Is your wife a writer as well?
No.
And have you lived in Portland? Your whole
grown-up
life?
For most of it. It's bouncing around, but yeah, for the most part. My wife is from Nebraska. She was so delightfully not an actor that it was, you know, like I I don't know.
Same with my husband.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's just
it's
nice.
Like a real person.
Yeah, like, oh, you go to work and you come home like people.
Yeah.
Right.
It's good.
Yeah, it is good.
It's just the other half of my brain when you meet someone like that and you're like, oh, everything just relax. Okay,
right.
This is great.
Yeah. Yeah, my boyfriend is not a performer either.
Yeah.
And it's great. He's supportive.
Yeah, my husband, it just cracks me up because, I mean, he'll see a lot of stuff and I'll come home and I'm like, oh my God, that was the worst of the month. God, could you believe I fell down? Like, you did? I thought that was part of it. I mean, he's
right.
So happy to see me do my thing that he just, I don't know.
Right.
Love, I guess.
Love is.
Yep.
Yeah, when my boyfriend came and saw me do improv for the first time, it was, he almost couldn't stand it. I mean, he liked watching it, but he was so nervous. He's like, I just want good things for you.
Aww.
He's like, I only want good things
for
you.
It can be an anxious thing to watch.
Yeah.
People you love.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's, if you have someone you love as a performer, I think it is nerve-wracking.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and especially, well, he's not a performer, but yeah. Because I guess improv, too, you're really on the edge.
Yeah. I have some friends that will not come and see improv.
Really?
Just because it makes them so nervous.
Yeah.
Do you ever teach classes at Siren?
I do not, but upstairs, so there's the Siren is two levels.
Mm-hmm.
First floor, second floor, and on the second floor, Kickstand Comedy has kind of, they've moved in and taken over.
Okay, they do an open mic on Mondays, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember, okay.
They've got programming all throughout the week.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they do a great job.
Uh-huh.
And they, three of the people in charge of Kickstand teach improv classes there.
Oh,
as
that's
well.
Neat.
And the Liberators, the improv troupe that I'm a part of,
mm-hmm.
Nicholas and John, they also teach improv.
Oh, that's
I
great.
Do not teach improv.
You teach sketch?
I teach sketch.
Mm.
Just finished my first class at the Siren.
So people could sign up for a class with you on the website if you have another
one? Not right now, but they have to apply. It's
mm-hmm.
not just a come on, come on.
Mm-hmm.
But we just, they're called the Sweat Hogs.
Mm-hmm.
And we just had our final exam show a couple weeks ago. They did a good job. They were very cute.
Good show.
Yeah. So I will do that again at some point.
That listening, whether you're an actor or not an actor, to do something like that, because it's really, I don't know, I think it really loosens up
mm-hmm.
anybody.
Yeah.
It's fun, teamwork.
It's good for your life.
Yeah, it makes you laugh. Laughing
listening,
is good.
I mean, listening is important.
Right.
When you take a, if you pick up nothing else, just listening to other people,
mm-hmm.
suddenly kind of opens you up a little bit. And kind of
right.
look at the world a little bit more, and that's good.
Right.
And these things with the berries on top
yes.
are ridiculous.
Delicious.
They are.
I can't believe how
please, there are so, why don't you have another one if you like?
Well,
because
gonna,
don't
I'm
feel like you
to
can.
This one.
I'm going
to
have this dark brown. I think it's a date.
You think it's, I don't think
it's
date.
It looks like almost like a gingerbready thing.
That
does
might
it
be
smell
it.
Like
it
that?
Gingerbready.
What's the one with the white stuff in it? You're having
this is
that.
Lemon.
Oh, that's my favorite. I'm going to go lemon.
Mm.
Oh, man. Oh, I just don't want to not eat those sandwiches, but I'm full now. Darn it.
You could take them to
yeah.
or is that, is it,
I'll give them to you
this.
Guys. You can take some to your wife so she knows what tea
ooh.
Is.
Tiny sandwiches.
Well, I'd send her photographic proof.
Okay.
I might as well bag some evidence.
I think you should.
So what was that? Was that chocolate? Or, no.
It's ginger. Like a date or molasses.
It's the brown thing.
Oh,
this lemon thing's out of this world.
Yeah, it's great. And it's all drippy, too. Like, you know
mm-hmm.
that they just poured the stuff in. It hasn't been sitting and yeah,
this isn't like a Trader Joe's
no.
Rosenthal.
Get out of here.
Get out.
I'm gonna have that.
Yeah, do it.
The brown guy?
No, one of these. I gotta have another one of these while I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
I just pick this
one. Well, these have a raspberry filling. Well, too sweet for me.
Are they?
Too sweet.
Too sweet.
That's a macaroon, right?
Right.
Is that the one that the cookie is kind of styrofoamy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
it's got
that's
the gooey
not
in the middle.
It doesn't
oh, it's not that?
No. Oh, you're talking about meringues.
Okay.
Right.
Am I?
Oh, no, I think you're right. Yeah.
The chalky and they
yes.
make it too
yeah.
rich.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a meringue.
Okay.
Yeah. This was just absolutely lovely.
Yeah.
It's very lovely.
Big surprise.
And
thank
you guys,
very much.
Oh my, it's my pleasure. You're the first, like, real people that I've had because, as I said, last time we did kind of a practice go around with Steve.
Mm.
And it's really fun. They're so generous, and it's such a lovely party that, you know, it's fun to...
So we're the first ones that have done this with you?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you're the premier.
What did you do with Jason?
That was when I'm not doing this, all the podcasts don't come from here. Only one of them comes from here.
I see.
And then the other three come from Artslandia offices on Milwaukee.
Okay.
He missed out.
Yeah, he missed out. Yeah, don't tell him.
On a three-plate tea stack of delicious. Should have got tea next time when I do this with my own money. I'm gonna get the Alpine Cozy. Thai rum.
Oh my God.
With bluebird Alpine liqueur, allspice, fresh squeezed lemon juice, bitters, and hot lager. Hello.
There's still time.
That's a lot.
Pushing the limits of what a hot toddy can do.
Hazel, you should bring Hazel here. Like it?
I think she would.
Who's his daughter?
Oh,
his adorable daughter.
Oh, gracious. That would be fun.
Yeah, she would like that.
At the holidays, and I'm sure at the holidays here, it will probably be absolutely fantastic, all decked out. That would be fun with your daughter.
Yeah. Cute. Let's do that.
Mm-hmm. So do you have to write today? You finished for the day?
I'm finished for the day, yeah. Mm-hmm. The siren just got brand new chairs. I got delivered today.
Yeah. Yes.
We had at our first birthday party last week.
Oh, that's nice.
I raised money for everybody could gift a chair to the siren.
Oh, that's great.
Because we've been just using. They've been awesome.
Yes.
Very awesome.
You don't look a gift chair.
No, you don't.
No.
It's bright yellow folding metal chairs that were very bright yellow, but they had like cool Chinese writing on the back.
Characters, like spray painted on.
Mm-hmm. And they've been great. They've served us well, but they are so uncomfortable.
It's medieval to sit through an entire
torture
show. And you don't ever have to sit in that.
I only did. I've done it once, and I'm like, this is... I'm not
it's
doing
awful.
This
it yeah.
Do you find that your audience repeats quite often?
Yeah.
Because then you can do a sketch about your chair now, and you can show them what it's like to sit in the seat when they're going to have a much more comfortable seat.
We did that at the party to convince people to buy them. And
oh,
we got enough money to buy a bunch of padded chairs.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So they're all there. Ready to use.
So come and sit on the new chairs.
Please, they're pretty.
Yeah, they're soft. They're not judgy.
No.
They're just really accepting.
Yeah.
It's
like a friend.
Yellow metal
good
chairs,
friend.
The yellow ones, they were a little judgy.
They were very judgy.
But hey, fella, you're not going to be comfortable.
So I was doing that today, waiting for them to be delivered.
So you've got a show opening, though, relatively soon.
On the 14th.
On the 14th. And then after that, you get back to writing together.
Yes.
We're doing some writing tonight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like we're gonna watch some movies and kind of get inspired.
Can you say what movies you're gonna look up while we're watching?
I don't think we should.
No. Okay. Yeah. Scary. Are they funny movies?
No, it's for Halloween next year.
Oh, okay.
I mean, inadvertently, perhaps, but they were not intended to be funny.
Gotcha. What's your favorite scary movie? Or is that you don't have to say it's one of the movies you're watching? But
mine is. What is mine? Well, I love Vincent Price because I just do. And as a kid, I was genuinely scared of him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, just
creepy looking.
His voice and his composure under terrible villainous circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
But I think. Because there was a whole bunch. I think The House of Usher from the mid-60s. Vincent Price plays this guy. He is the great Poe story. But he plays this guy with these incredible sensitivities. So, like, when somebody, scrapes their foot across the floor, he's, like, in agony. And Vincent Price, like, he's so over the top. But at the same time, it's, like, a really good performance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also, like, in the 60s when color was just really starting to jam it with color.
Mm.
So there's like a dream sequence with all these like smoky, oversaturated color filters. It's just gorgeous to watch.
Mm.
Good movie. It's a good movie.
Scary.
House of Usher. 1965.
I just recently saw the Blair Witch Project.
It's scary.
And that was terrifying.
The first one or the second?
The first one.
Oh.
It was such a cool, and that was a great way to shoot that movie.
Yeah,
it was
perfect.
Creative and it was scary. It felt as though you were really there.
You know what I like? I've just found out that famous shot where she's apologizing into the camera,
mm-hmm.
she didn't realize it was zoomed in all the way.
Oh, really?
And that's like the most iconic shot in the whole
thing. Yeah.
I did not care for her.
No.
I wasn't super upset that she didn't come home.
Right.
Heather, I think her name was.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
She drove me nuts. But the movie was great.
It's been a couple decades if you haven't seen it.
It's so good. And, like, you know, it doesn't get spooked out when they go camping.
Oh,
right.
Oh.
Sounds.
Woods.
In the night. It was. I think I'm good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's
yeah.
David, everybody.
That's David. Are we buying hot water?
He's giving hot water to anybody. It's just.
Just us.
Nope. Oh, well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much
for coming to tea at the Hotel Deluxe.
You know, when you were saying it'll be fun to have tea with funny people,
mm-hmm.
is it funny people aren't always that yeah. funny when they're not really on. So
right.
it was fun.
Yes.
I don't know exactly.
I think it was just like life, like
yeah.
fun, funny, melancholy, heartbreaking. The whole thing.
There was a story arc.
There was
we all changed.
We did.
Well, I
in
put on a couple yeah. pounds, so I changed all right.
I feel like the bright, what is it? The
star of brightness.
The star of brightness in my heart.
Did you say the star of brightness in my harp?
Heart.
Got it. All right, well, you've got a lot to do now based on this podcast. You've got all sorts of things to see and do, not to mention you can come to tea at the Hotel Deluxe. So I'll see you next time on Adventures in Artslandia. I guess I won't see you at all. I'll just talk to you. Bye.
They will hear you.
That's right.